ever cram for a test only to forget it all the next day?
Yeah, me too. What if we could unlock the secrets of how our memory really works? Today's deep dive takes us back to the late 1800s to meet this pioneer
Oh, okay.
who dared to measure, get this, the immeasurable, Hermann Ebbinghaus.
Yeah, Ebbinghaus, he's fascinating.
Yeah.
He didn't just sit around and philosophize about memory like everyone before him.
Right.
This guy, he was determined to bring scientific rigor to studying the mind.
And that couldn't have been easy, right? Back then, they couldn't just, stick someone in an fMRI machine. So how do you even begin to study something, I don't know, as invisible and internal as memory?
Exactly. And that's where Ebbinghaus's ingenuity really shines through. He needed a way to study memory in his purest form without any pre-existing knowledge or emotional ties, influencing the results.
Okay, so what did he use? Carrier pigeons, invisible ink?
Think even more unexpected, nonsense syllables.
What?
Yeah, he created these strings of consonant vowel consonant combinations, like book or GED, completely meaningless.
So he's having people memorize gibberish? I mean, I get that it's neutral, but was that really effective?
Surprisingly, yes.
Yeah.
By using these nonsense syllables, it leveled the playing field. Every syllable was equally unfamiliar, right? Ensuring his results weren't skewed by, things people already knew. It's like starting an experiment with a clean slate. And you know what's even more interesting?
What's that?
He compared memorizing these syllables to learning stanzas from Byron's Don Juan.
Wait, gibberish versus Byron? Who won that memory match?
You might be surprised to hear that while Don Juan has, rhythm and rhyme, it wasn't as big an advantage as you might think. Ebbinghaus found that the effort required to memorize both was surprisingly similar. Meaningful content, it turns out, wasn't the memory shortcut he expected.
Wow, that's a real aha moment. Our brains don't seem to play favorites when it comes to memorization. So by meticulously testing himself with these nonsense syllables, what did Ebbinghaus discover about how our memories work?
This is where his research gets impactful. He discovered the now famous forgetting curve. He charted how fast we forget new information, especially right after we learn it. Ever cram for a test the night before, feeling confident, only to go totally blank during the exam. You've
Yes.
experienced the forgetting curve firsthand. But here's the thing. He found that forgetting, it isn't a straight line down to zero. It plateaus over time.
So there's hope. But I'm guessing cramming is still a bad idea.
Ebbinghaus's research, it actually gives us a much better strategy. Spaced repetition.
Spaced repetition. It's like that song you keep hearing on the radio. The more you hear it, the more it sticks with you.
Yeah.
So instead of cramming all the information in one go, we're better off revisiting it at strategic intervals.
You got it. Think of it like building a path in the woods. The more you walk that path, the clearer and more defined it becomes.
Yeah.
Spaced repetition, it helps us carve those memory pathways deeper into our brains. Ebbinghaus also discovered our brains. They're wired to make connections, even between unrelated things. He called this the power of association.
Like how a certain scent can trigger a vivid childhood memory.
Exactly. Our brains are constantly creating these webs of association,
Huh.
linking things together based on when we encounter them. This helps explain why stories, with their inherent connections and emotional resonance, tend to be more memorable than just, lists of facts.
So if I want to remember something, I should try to connect it to something I already know, like a story or a personal experience.
You're on the right track. And here's where Ebbinghaus's findings, they take an even more fascinating turn. He found that these associations, they aren't just simple linear links. Our brains are building much more complex networks than we realize. He called these indirect associations.
Okay, you're gonna have to break that down for me. What are indirect associations?
Okay, let's say you learn a sequence, like A, B, C, D.
Okay.
Ebbinghaus discovered that your brain, it doesn't just connect A to B, B to C, and so on. It also forms indirect connections between elements that were never directly presented together, like A to C or B to D.
So our brains are making connections behind the scenes without us even realizing it?
Precisely. It's as if our minds are constantly seeking patterns and relationships, even in the most random sequences.
Wow.
This suggests that memory is a much more dynamic and interconnected process than we often give it credit for.
That's incredible. And a bit humbling, too. Our brains are these incredible machines working overtime to make sense of the world. But did Ebbinghaus just focus on remembering things forward? What about, remembering things in reverse?
That's a great question. And it leads us to another fascinating aspect of his research, reverse associations. Ebbinghaus wondered if learning a sequence forward would automatically make it easier to recall backward.
Like, if you can sing a song from start to finish, can you easily sing it in reverse? I know I definitely can't. So what did he find?
Well, it turns out our brains are better at remembering things in the order we learned them. While there is some transfer of learning in reverse, it's significantly weaker than the forward association. Think of it like walking a path in the woods, right?
Okay.
You can retrace your steps, but it's easier to follow the path in the direction you initially walked it.
So our brains create a stronger memory path in the direction we first learned something. Fascinating. This deep dive has already been full of aha moments. But let's get practical. How can we actually use all these insights from Ebbinghaus to, you know, learn more effectively?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
No.
Ebbinghaus wasn't just interested in unlocking theoretical secrets. His research has powerful implications for how we learn and remember information in the real world.
So what are the key takeaways? Give us the Ebbinghaus-approved study tips.
One of the most effective strategies, directly informed by his work, is active recall.
Active recall. What is that exactly?
It's about engaging with the material actively.
Okay.
Forcing your brain to retrieve it from memory rather than passively rereading.
So instead of just staring at my notes, I should be actively testing myself.
Exactly. Quizzing yourself, trying to explain the concepts to someone else, or even just jotting down everything you remember from a chapter. All of these activities, they force your brain to, like, flex those memory muscles.
Yeah.
Remember, the more you use a muscle, the stronger it gets. And the same goes for our memory.
Makes sense. It's like the difference between watching a workout video and actually hitting the gym.
Precisely. And here's where Ebbinghaus's findings about spaced repetition come into play. Instead of cramming all your study sessions into one marathon session, try spreading them out over time. Use flashcards, spaced repetition apps, or even just set reminders for yourself to revisit the material at increasing intervals.
So planning and strategy are key. No more last-minute cramming sessions. Sounds like my kind of study plan. A little bit each day, spread out. Much better than those all-nighters fueled by caffeine desperation.
Your brain thanks you in advance. And don't forget Ebbinghaus's insights about, you know, our innate ability to link information.
Right.
Use that to your advantage by chunking information together.
Chunking. Is that like when you put your grocery list into categories? Dairy, produce, things that expire immediately after you leave the store?
You're catching on. Instead of memorizing a long list of unrelated items, try grouping related concepts together.
Okay.
Create acronyms. Use visuals, like mind maps. Or find, you know, meaningful connections between the pieces of information.
Yeah.
This leverages your brain's natural tendency to forge links, making encoding and recall way smoother.
It's like we're taking all these kind of abstract principles of memory and turning them into practical tools we can use every day. This deep dive has been like a masterclass in hacking our own learning.
That's the beauty of Ebbinghaus's work. It's not just some, like, dusty old research. It's the sorts of, you know, timeless wisdom.
Right.
We can apply it to our lives today. He showed us that memory isn't this passive thing we're stuck with. It's an active process. We can shape it. We can improve it.
It's empowering, right? To know that we have more control over our memories than we realize.
Absolutely. And that brings us to a final thought-provoking question, you know, for our listeners to ponder.
Okay.
If, as Ebbinghaus's research suggests, our memories are these vast, interconnected webs of information,
yeah,
how can we be more intentional about the connections we're forming?
What are we choosing to prioritize? What associations are we actively cultivating?
Because those choices, they're shaping the very fabric of our minds and influencing how we experience, how we interpret the world.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way before. Our memories aren't just reflections of the past. They're also blueprints for our future selves.
Precisely. So as you go about your day, you know, pay attention to the connections your mind is making.
Okay.
Curious about how your memories shape your perceptions. And inform your decisions.
Mm.
Embrace the power of active learning. And never underestimate the incredible potential of your own memory.
This has been an incredible deep dive. Who knew that a 19th century scientist armed with nothing but nonsense syllables could unlock so many secrets about the human mind?
It's a testament to the power of curiosity, rigorous experimentation, and the enduring human desire to understand ourselves a little bit better.
And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder the intricate and amazing world of memory, equipped with newfound knowledge and hopefully a renewed sense of wonder about this extraordinary capacity we all possess.